Hi, this is Sundance 2 from Magic 100 and the voice you hear inside Canadian Tire Center. You're listening to Sen's Call-Ups.
Studio 65 of the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to Season 2, Episode Number 6 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here as usual with Pan and Canuck. The Senators are back home from out west and had three very different games since they got here. A successful home opener, a stinker against an inferior team, and a beatdown on a contender with a former captain. Which game shows the real Senators? I don't think anyone, even the team, knows that yet. You can send us email at podcast@senscallups.com. You can find us on Twitter, and you can participate in the online forums. Pan, you mentioned at the end of the last episode you wanted to need to do an emergency episode after tonight's game, so we're going to do a full one instead. Is that okay?
Okay. I'm a lot more relaxed and not angry like I thought I was going to be, so that was good. I didn't know Stephen Weiss was a captain.
I didn't either, to be honest.
Was that the captain you're talking about?
Me?
Yeah, in your intro there.
What Alfie are you talking about?
Player number 11.
Bum, 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 bum.
Canuck, how are you tonight?
Confused.
Oh, why is that?
Like fault? Every Sens fan. I feel like I'm on this, I'm not a bandwagon fan, but I feel like my emotions are on some sort of roller coaster ride. Hey, you guys can call me out on it. I admit to it. I came into tonight expecting to be really pissed off.
Yeah, me too.
I thought for sure that this game against Detroit, which we're going to get to, we just finished watching. I thought for sure we're going to get creamed and then Alfie is going to get a hat trick or at least a couple points, and because that's what happens. And we just did not look consistent leading into this game. Why should I expect anything different? So
it's great to be wrong.
I'm relaxed now. It's great to be wrong.
Indeed. It was, I think part of it is the mainstream media played this up so much to be, you know, an absolutely huge game. I mean, it was almost game seven of the, none of that. We don't need that. They played it up to be so important. Like it was game seven of the second round of the playoffs kind of thing. And it's like, no, it wasn't. And I don't know. I actually had to turn off the radio and television for most of the day today. I just couldn't handle any more of the buildup to this.
I'm glad I asked you to get that queued up.
Just trying to get you going.
You are making friends. You are not making friends with that.
Oh, no, let's vote on that. Who thinks it's great? I do. Majority rules. Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm you're hosting tonight. The rest of the show.
Click. Dial tone.
So that's our episode, guys. We good to go?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Game on!
Game 7, Devils at Senators, the home opener. We're trying to make our game summaries a little quick, so a little faster than they were last year, so hopefully I'll get through this pretty quickly, but feel free to chime in on things you have to say. For this game, DaCosta was out, Cassian was in, Greiba was in, and Korva was out.
Was DaCosta out? Yeah, he was.
He was out yet.
Yeah, that cost me $24 to money on the board, too.
Actually, I think he was waived after.
He was waived. He was sent down and then waived. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was waived after.
Well, he was waived, but he didn't clear yet.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Anywho, first period. The first 90 seconds of the game were all on the Senators' end, and I think Senators fans were collectively holding their breath going, oh, dear Lord, not again, and especially not against a team as bad as this. After that, things weren't quite so bad, but the first 90 seconds were just constantly within our own blue line. It was a little frightening. However, at 4:32 of the first period, Erik Karlsson scores with just a rocket of a shot from the top of the circle with an assist to Bobby Ryan, and it's 1-0. And then, just over 2 minutes later, Bobby Ryan with probably one of the prettiest goals of the season so far, which was that crazy wraparound shot that nobody was expecting, including Martin Brodeur. And just like that, boom, it's 2-0.
Welcome home, Bobby.
And, exactly, two goals on two shots versus Martin Brodeur. Hard to believe, but that's exactly what had happened.
And you notice Sens DJ, the Sens organization, I'm sure, directed him. We have a new goal song.
We do. Let's hear that.
Well, that was the one we just played on the game. On. Yeah.
I don't know if you were trying to cue me up for a sound bite or not. So
no, but I remember seeing some traffic on Twitter, and they're saying we're going to unveil the new goal song. I thought, well, you kind of already did that in preseason with the Monster Truck Righteous Smoke song. And apparently, Sens organization changes goal songs faster than we can change captains. So there you go.
Ooh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that wasn't a good joke, was it? I tried.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was something else. We were kind of psychic again, weren't we?
Well, you were psychic in the fact that
What? It's like, this game just, or this song just doesn't work.
The Monster Truck thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's starting to grow on me, but. Oh, see ya.
It wasn't doing it for me. I much, much prefer this one. But I guess we'll touch on that later.
Mm-hmm. After these two goals, then the Senators started falling into the Senators that we had come to know and get a little frustrated with so far this season, because at 12:21, Mathot took a holding penalty. At 15:40, Cowan took a roughing penalty. At 17:48, MacArthur took a slashing penalty. And at 19:32, Cowan took a holding penalty. So that's basically the second half of the period on the PK.
Wait, no 5-on-3s?
Not yet. Fortunately, no. At the end of the period, the Devils had 12 shots on goal. The Sens had 7, but the Sens had a 2-0 lead. And at the end of the first period, Spezza was 78% at faceoffs. Smith was 67, and Turris was 57. So at least the faceoff numbers were on their way up, which was a big improvement on some of the games, especially out west, where the Senators were really weak in the face-off circle. In the second period was the first of two absolutely astonishing saves by Craig Anderson, both of which made it into the, I can't think, what does TSN call them? Not the highlight of the night, but the plays of the
evening. Plays of the week.
What do they call that?
I don't know.
I can't think of what it was.
Oh, honor roll. Honor roll.
Honor roll. Thank you. Yes. They both made it onto the honor roll. This is the first one. This was the no look, saving it with the back of my leg because I'm sort of spinning around while I'm making the save. Safe. Yeah. That was astonishing. That was at 11:25 of the second period. And then at 18:41 of the second period, Zach Smith scores with a beautiful passing play. Spezza to Karlsson to Smith in. 3-0 Ottawa. And then at 19:00, Phillips gets an interference call. And at 19:18, Graba gets a high sticking call, both of which were completely needless penalties. So there's your 5-on-3. Almost a 2 minute, a minute 42 seconds of 5-on-3, including, a minute of it to start the third period. And the Devils didn't waste it at 54 seconds of the third period. Power play goal by Zajac, and it's now 3-1. It's okay. It's all right. We'll figure this out. Senators got back to 5-on-3. It was all right. At 4:15 was the SportsCenter highlight of the night save, which was the Anderson Robs Jager with the stick.
Oh. Beauty.
Unbelievable save. Absolutely unbelievable save. Then at 10:59, Bernier scores to make it 3-2 for the Devils, and that's when Senators fans have their stomachs start to churn and get a little worried. It's like, oh, this is not good. Fortunately, at 15:12, Milan Mikolic scores with assists from Spets and Carlson. It was just a beauty of a snipe from the top of the left circle. And then at 18-14, Jason Spezza gets an empty net goal because Brodeur was pulled with 2 minutes left to try and overcome a two-goal deficit. Assist to Condra. Final score, 5-2. Shots on goal, however. The Senators won the game 5-2, but they got outshot 23-42. Not very, very good. However,
sucked at Corsi number one.
However, the faceoff, the team faceoffs for the whole team was 56.25%. That's a pretty good number. I mean, it's above 50, but it's that this Spezza was 62.5, Smith was 52.9, and Turris was 57.9. So we definitely improving as far as faceoffs are concerned.
This is why Smith cannot play the wing.
Yeah, that's why he needs to play a center.
He's just too good. He's a left hand shot, and he's just too good. Yeah. On the face-off dot.
Yeah. So glad to see that was improving. So that was the home opener. Home opener. Good. Everybody goes home happy. It's 5-2. All is well and good. So there we go.
It was a fun game. Pan and I
were
at this one.
You guys were both at this game.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty fun.
It was good. Can we talk about the game experience on this one now?
Well, do you want to talk about the two games separately? I was going to bring that up after the next game.
It might be good to bring it up after the next one.
The next one?
Okay. It was quite a mirror game.
All right. Well, I was going to say I was also at that one, so I can add a little bit of my own.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't at this one. Anything else you want to talk about specifically about this game?
Coach was pissed.
Well, he wasn't happy with the effort levels. No, yeah, it didn't seem to be.
I didn't mind it. Like, yeah, letting 42 shots against the Devils is real bad.
Yeah,
but I didn't mind the game at all.
Oh,
but yeah, it's I don't know that one. I didn't kind of see eye to eye form on that one.
Okay,
but I don't know. That's
we can go on to the next game. In between these two games, it was actually when. DaCosta cleared waivers. So he was officially gone after the
got off my team.
So game 8 is Saturday afternoon. The Oilers visiting the Senators.
Yep. So what was this one? Pageau out, Grant in?
That's correct. And you're up for the summary on this one.
Cassian in.
Right? Cassian in.
Yep. I didn't like that.
Hey, well, we've talked about what Cassian does. With Cassian in the lineup, Neil doesn't become a dick. And I don't think he was in this game either. He doesn't need to be the tough guy. He doesn't have to pretend it. That's just something that we noticed out in California. Okay, so I didn't really do my homework. But we'll just talk about this. So, yeah, Oilers at Sens. Oilers are absolutely brutal. They don't have a goaltender. So, let's get shelled! 2 minutes, 15 seconds in. Jordan Eberle pretty much ends the game.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So once again, we get scored on, or we're in the box in the first 5 minutes of the game. It changes everything on the team here. Nuge with another good shot. Actually, with the, I think it's the Nuge shot. He's coming in with Yakupov. No. Nuge got the empty net. But with Eberle, because that was a 2-on-1, and Eberle faked out Leonard, and Leonard bit immediately. So he's really, really bad at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he bit hard on that one. I thought the first goal wasn't a great goal either. It was a little weak on the short side, which he should have had.
Honestly, this game was quite boring.
It was. Well, the highlight of the game was pretty much...
The 5-on-3 kill.
The 5-on-3 kill where the second penalty was a bad call.
Oh, and brutal call.
Friggin' Oscar.
That happens.
He deserves an Oscar for that.
Yeah, so that was tied with also me and Ivan yelling shoot every time the goalie touched it.
Yeah.
That was fun. Drove Puddle Duck nuts. Yeah, I was really hoping for a better result, especially because Ivan came all the way from Newfoundland. Did you know he's from Newfoundland?
Yeah.
I did, actually. That's mostly because I met him at the airport.
That, and he does introduce himself as, "Hi, I'm Ivan from Newfoundland."
It's great. And now, before we leave this game, thank you to Ivan for for tickets to this game. That was very kind to, I was ready to go to this game, and suddenly I found out I wasn't paying for it. I went, oh, okay, that's even better. Thank you very much. It was much appreciated.
Hey, Ivan, no refunds.
But come back anytime. That was a lot of fun, actually. It really was. I did a little bit of face-off numbers for this game just because I was following them sort of game to game. The team overall in the face-off dot was 58.6. So, again, higher than the last game. Spezza was 68.4. Turris was 47.3. And Derek Grant, surprisingly, was 57.1. So, not bad. You know, the numbers are getting better. They'll take a little while to get completely fixed, but they are getting better. Now, after this game...
Actually, let's just touch on one last thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Shots at Ottawa 36, Edmonton 21. Circuit Corsi number 2.
Nice.
The fancy stats get annoying, but there's actually one Corsi stat which I'm fine with. It's just, you know, a tally of...
Is it the scoreboard?
Yeah. No, this is the tally of shots and shot and you know, blocks and missed shots. Like them combined with that same thing going the other way. So it's basically plus or minus on steroids. I don't mind that because that's okay. That's a decent stat to know. Some of those fancy ones get a bit confusing. They don't seem to be going away. So whatever. I think my biggest opposition of Corsi is the fact that Travis Yost on Twitter keeps tweeting about them. And I don't think Travis listens to this, so I can probably get away with saying this, but if you are, sorry, bud, but you got to change your avatar because he's got one of these avatars. I don't know what it is, but it's just one of those faces you just want to punch. and you guys know me. I'm a pretty passive guy. But him and Sens Adnan, and you got, look, guys, change your friggin' avatar photo because I see it and I just want to punch you. I don't even care what you're saying. I just want to punch you.
Well, that's why we unfollowed both of them, though.
Note to followers, don't have an annoying avatar. That's good to know.
No, just don't talk garbage.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
It's just the trolling all the time. Like sometimes it's fun to troll as a joke. We do it once in a while as a joke and stuff, and that's cool and fun. But yeah. If you mostly do it just to constant, each other. Yeah, mostly to each other.
Yeah, I'm sorry again.
But yeah, it's just the constant trolling. It's just
It does get a little tiresome.
And
I'll give you that.
The smug sure. Face avatar. I just want to punch him.
Mm-mm. Oh, dear. All right. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen because we don't want to lose you for a little while when you have to go away because you punched somebody. So let's try not to do that. After this game on Saturday, I think the coach wasn't terribly impressed with the effort or the results. Maybe
no,
not
he
effort,
would praise the efforts and results. He was happy with the game.
The Saturday one?
Yes. He wasn't happy with the result, but he was happy with the work and the shots and the effort.
And he's looking at Corsi.
Okay. Well,
well, he is. It's true.
A normal practice for this team on a day off is somewhere between 45 and 50 minutes. And they do skating drills at the end of it. Monday's practice was an hour and 22 minutes long. And they did skating drills at several points during the practice, as well as at the end of it. Which I thought was a rather telling number because yesterday's practice was back down to the usual 45 to 50 before they left to fly to Detroit. Now, anything else you wanted to say about Saturday's game?
The men's, the Sens really missed an opportunity here. The Sens are out of a playoff spot at this point, and they're out. And here's a day where they had probably the opponent everybody would have wanted, maybe Buffalo a little bit better. And Montreal and Toronto were both playing that day. This is their chance to make up points, and they blew it.
Fair enough.
I was mad.
Well, I was disappointed with the results because they just, yeah. There were a lot of shots on goal, but there didn't seem to be a lot of good scoring opportunities because we all know that Dubnyk isn't that good a goalie, and so many of the shots seem to be right at his crest. Like, you're shooting right at the goalie.
Yeah, he didn't move. He had one save where he actually had to move.
Yeah, he's big. I mean, he is 6 foot six. But
in fact, there's one chance where Carlson's coming in on a one-timer. He shoots it to the corner, which you would do normally against a good goalie, because the goalie would have had him coming across to protect Carlson. So he shot to the original corner and it hit him, because he should have just shot to the open corner, like, which, you know, which would be the easy play, but he didn't do it. He tried to shot to the opposite corner like he would do against an elite goalie, and it just went off of him. It's like, oh, we have this ability to make these backup goalies and goalies that suck otherwise look like Vezina candidates.
Yeah. Oh, well, what's done is done. On to the next game, which brings us to tonight's game. Okay, that's really annoying, whatever that was. It brings us to tonight's game, which was the Sens at the Red Wings. The game with all the hype, the game with the talk through all the media. Everybody's talking about it.
Sorry, capital. I'm going to post this as the game pick, but Capital Gains just did his picture for me.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. Just go check it out anyway.
Well, it'll be on the website by the time people are listening to this.
It's a free podcast.
I got it.
The game tonight, Wierkosz was out. Pajot was out. Apparently he's nursing some sort of minor injury. And that's why Zibanejad was called up. It was because Pajot was injured. At least that was one of the reasons that was given. So Grant was in and Zibanejad were in.
Well, remember what I said, what Zibanejad was suffering from? Shattered confidence.
Okay.
And who set up the first goal?
Zibad!
Zibanejad. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll skip over the first notes that I took. And at 5:46 of the first period, Greiba starts by throwing a massive check in the wing zone, and then suddenly it's Kondrat to Zibanejad to Greiba to in, and Grant was standing in front of the net being a screen. So boom, the goal that none of us were expecting, especially the first goal of the game to be scored by the Senators. We weren't expecting that. We were expecting a goal within the first 5 minutes, but it wouldn't have been scored by the Senators. So very happy to hear that one. At 9:22, Cronwall takes 2 minutes for hooking, and at 10:48, power play goal from Spezza with assists to Phillips and Carlson, and that makes it 2-0. And the shots are now 5-5 because the Red Wings got the first 3 shots on goal before the Senators had any. So it goes from 3-0 to 5-5 and in shots, and 2-0 for the Senators. At 13:03, Neil throws a hit that goes badly wrong and gets shaken up. Goes to the room, and I don't believe he was back until the second period, because I didn't notice him in the rest of the period. But he was back playing in the second period, so that was all right. 14:07, Kyle Quincy takes a 2-minute penalty for tripping, and at just 7 seconds later, boom! Bobby Ryan, power play goal from Corvo and Turris, and it's now 3-0 for the Senators. And at that point, Jimmy Howard is pulled after 3 goals on 8 shots, and Gustafsson is in to replace him.
This was when I got nervous.
Well, yeah, because whenever it seems to be that way. Oh, we get the backup in and they stone us.
And exactly. An ex-leafer too.
Yeah. Okay. That's just added up. Well, at least the Senators were not wearing the Heritage jerseys, because that would have been even worse.
Yeah.
Because that was part of the problem, just to go back to the Oilers game for a second. There we go. Just after the goalie change, 14:56, Greening takes a cross-checking penalty, which was barely a touch and a pretty major dive by Abdelkader, but hey, Red Wings are down 3-0, so you're going to expect that kind of call to be made. There were 2 failed attempts to clear the zone, which didn't work, and at 16:14, the Red Wings get a power play goal from Bertuzzi, and the score is 3-1. End of the period, the shots on goal, 12 for the Wings, 9 for the Senators. The power play...
That was a garbage bounce goal too, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
But we got one back, counted. So just like it, yeah. So it's all good.
So at the end of the period, the power play for the Senators was 2-for-2. The power plays for the Wings was 1-for-1. And the really bad number is the Wings had won 67% of the faceoffs. Ottawa 33.
Hey, sorry, what was this power word you use? Power play?
Power play. Yeah, that thing we don't have much of.
Oh, wait, that's when we have more players than them? on the ice? Well,
only briefly.
Okay.
Cool. is that the same thing that Corey Kluson was trying to do back in the day? Having more players on the ice than the other team?
Nice.
It's been a while. I don't remember.
Maybe. So that's the end of the first period. Second period. Bobby Ryan gets a high sticking penalty at the far end, right down at the far end of the ice, just under a minute into the penalty. And it was a high sticking penalty. It was basically the follow through of a shot that caught a Detroit player sort of in the side back of their helmet. But penalty's penalty. There you go. Killed that one off. No problem. And at 5:12, Spezza scores from Carlson and a thought. 4-1 Ottawa. And at this point, I'm starting to not believe this is actually happening.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. What team is this?
Exactly. Against Detroit. You know, all the hype was coming in that, Ottawa's going to have, you know, really have to play hard and blah, blah, blah. It's 4-1. It's 5 minutes in the second period. It's 4-1. I'm like, okay, what's going to go wrong? Is someone going to get hurt? Where's the karma going to come into this?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it certainly felt good to be up 4-1 rather than down 4-1. Much, much better.
Yeah.
7 minute mark of the second period, Zach Smith gets away with a penalty because he chopped Nicholas Cronwall's stick in half.
I saw that.
Got away with it. Yeah.
Diving stick.
And I don't know about you. Did you notice in the second period, I was noticing there seemed to be a lot of stick holding going on both sides. Like a lot of holding the opposing player's stick. But none of it was called.
Turris started that in the first period. The penalty he drew, which was a penalty, he actually ended up holding onto the guy's stick a little bit too. So I think it was
okay.
Player 55.
Going back and forth, and it wasn't being called, and it was consistently not being called. So I was okay with that. You know, that if it had been, you know, a little chintzy call here and a little chintzy call there, and the rest of it didn't happen, that would be far more annoying. And that's basically the most of the notes I have for the second period. At the end of the second period, shots on goal were 21 for the Senators and 25 for the Wings. So it's still fairly even. Not too bad. Third period, 1 minute and 50 seconds in, Cowan scores from Smith and Neal, with Neal and Conacher parked out in front.
Cowan? What?
That was a bit of a shocker, to be sure. It's now 5-1, which is 5 goals on 23 shots. And at this point in the game, all 6 defensemen have at least 1 point.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cowan and Griba get a goal.
Yeah, that's when you sent your tweet out, Pan, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Fill in the blank. When Cowan and Griba score, blank. And actually, I don't know about you guys, I thought the best answer was an insult from a Leafs fan. The answer was, when Cowan and Griba score, so does your mom.
Yeah, bitterness will get you everywhere, I suppose.
I laugh at it.
Oh, it's a good burn. It's a good burn. I'll give you that. But that's just a bitter Leafs fan, and I'm just going to let it go with that. Yeah. At 3:23, Zetterberg leans on Cowan. Cowan brushes him off, and Cowan gets a penalty for elbowing.
Yep. What? I'm going to try that on you someday.
Okay.
I'm smaller, so I'm just going to rub my head up. I've got an itch. I'm just going to rub it on your elbow here.
I don't think you're going to like the results because there's no referee. That was certainly a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment. Like, how can that possibly be a penalty? You're kind of up and almost hugging him. And then
when I played house league ball hockey, that's exactly what I did because I wasn't a good player.
Anyway, that was that one got killed off. Next, I forgot to write down the time, unfortunately, was the Bobby Ryan's second goal of the game from MacArthur and Turris, makes the game 6-1. And MacArthur was shook up on the play and lying against the boards. And I have to give Bobby Ryan full credit. He wasn't celebrating the goal. He went straight to MacArthur and was like, hey, come on, get out here, guys. He's hurt.
Yeah. I was actually wondering where the rest of the team was, though.
I don't know, but I think it was because that had happened and he immediately was
just
like,
give him air. Right?
Yeah,
just give him air, right?
I'm not celebrating. Come on, let's get out here. He's been shaken up and, you know, full marks as far as I'm concerned for that.
Yep.
At 10:57, Daniel Alfredsson took a penalty for tripping, but that power play had a couple of shots, not great chances, but there were a lot of non-first power play unit players out, shall we say? So I'm not too worried about that. Final shots on goal, 28 for the Senators, 32 for the Wings. And my observations of this game was we had much better control of the puck at our blue line and at their blue line.
And breaking
out. I've got the real Corsi numbers for us here.
Okay.
Senators 44, Red Wings 46.
Really?
And I have no idea what...
Suck Corsi per three.
That means right. that the Red Wings had, you know, a couple more shots directed than...
More shots or blocked shots.
Yeah, or blocked shots.
Okay.
So in all of these games, I'm pretty sure that if Ottawa won, they were lower on Corsi. If Ottawa lost, they were higher on Corsi.
Okay.
It's irrelevant. A stat. Plus minus doesn't work all the time too, right?
There's no correlation. If there's no correlation, it's useless.
Well, correlation doesn't necessarily imply causation. So
I think Corsi gets more interesting when you look at it at a player or maybe a line level. That can be a little bit more indicative of something. You do it as a team, it's just kind of like a shot differential almost.
Well, anyway.
Shot differential would make more sense.
You'd think. You certainly would.
Listen, when Eric Condra comes streaming down the lane and then wires it out of the building, that's a positive Corsi for him.
Yep. Yep, it is. That's right. That's the difference. As opposed to just a pure shot on goal.
Because that's going to win you the freaking game anyway.
Well, it's not supposed to be a win thing. It's just it's an indicator of how much time you're on offense compared to defense.
Sure.
The people use it for that they should be winning. Well, if you have more offense.
Well, that's the whole money puck ridiculous. Game, right?
It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's just me.
Well, at the end of this game, I can certainly say that the Senators exceeded my expectations and played like the team that we know they can be. And I'm really, really happy to see that they did it.
We needed that.
And we did it against a top quality contender who's also a division rival. Like it couldn't have happened at a better time unless it had happened at the ACC. So it had better happen at the ACC the next time we're there.
That was a big 4-point game, even though Detroit may still probably end up ahead of us. I'm looking at TSN right now. Ottawa's played 9 games, which is, free at Tampa. But so Ottawa's played 9 with 10 points. Detroit's played 11 with 13. So we could theoretically, if we win the next 2 games, be above.
That's why these quotation mark 4-point games are so important. So you can really swing where you're going to be in a playoff position or not.
And if they keep playing the way that they played tonight, I think they can hang with anybody. They played really well. Were there issues at times? Yes. Nobody plays a perfect game.
No.
But they played much better.
What this does mean is that Ottawa's inconsistent. They are clearly inconsistent at the start of the season, but it's the start of the season.
Exactly. So and it's an 82-game season.
When we see a game like that, we at least know they can do it because up until like the Edmonton game, I left with a terrible feeling, thinking, maybe the best we can do is an overtime squeezer point or maybe sneaking out a win against New Jersey. Then we see that and we know, okay, they are capable of better. So it's a long season. We need to, get some consistency. I guess, it's a ship. It takes a while to turn. But
Well, actually, here's something that Mark Mathot just tweeted out. So that felt pretty good coming back home now with a little more confidence.
Nice.
Well, good.
Yeah, so that's good to hear.
That's going
to
mean that they were probably shook up mentally by the whole thing, too.
I bet.
Well, they couldn't help but be rattled by it because you can't live in a bubble. There was just too much talk. But it was just far too much talk. Before we leave this game, Canuck, you wanted to talk about Don Cherry and a running up the score comment? You sent me that note during this game. So
yeah, thanks for that. At a game like this, it's like 6-1 final, right? And this is the kind of game where Saturday rolls around as coach's corner and Don Cherry is going to say something like, well, they shouldn't be running up the score like that, especially on the road. I'm telling you here, kids, this is when you're going to cause problem. When we were on the road back then, and you don't run up the score when you're on the road, you just hang back and just win the game. Now, You've heard this before, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and to a point, I understand where he's coming from. Seems like a very reasonable thing. You don't want to rile up the other team and start, you know, fights and nonsense like that. But this is a different NHL than the NHL that Cherry played in. This is a different NHL from 3 years ago, even. And we have seen time after time, team after team, and very much so the Sens, take their foot off the gas pedal. They did it in the New Jersey game. They've done it in other games. And what happens every friggin' time is that the other team comes back and you've lost all your momentum and you often lose the game. So I say do not take that foot off the gas pedal. Keep going. So I'm glad they did it.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think that's a balance too, because a lot of those goals, it was like the Bobby Ryan second goal, the net was wide open. What do you want him to do, Condra? And what is it, that the Alfie power play when they put out the third line?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's doing the gamesmanship.
Yes, that's what he did. But you notice they didn't take their foot off the pedal. They were trying, and good for them, because there's going to be times during this season where they're going to have to do the power play for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, like
injuries or
we've got whatever. Our own game to friggin' play and practice and work out too, right?
Yeah, we've been working a lot on the penalty kill so far this season, but
yeah, just
yeah,
and that's one thing, because back in the California games, because we lost by one to both LA and San Jose, and those are really good teams. Let's not talk about Anaheim again, but it's just if you can control these penalties. Like Cowan took a dumb, I think it was Cowan took a dumb one that I didn't like. Again, wasn't that elbowing one, that one I, you know, kind of thought that was stupid. But there's another one, that, like, he keeps taking penalties. And I don't know, like, he's got to control that, because that's what cost us a couple of games. So I saw a lot more discipline from a lot of the guys today. That might have been because he just came out on a big lead. But I don't know. That's been the major issue.
I think this game not only was better disciplined, but it was also a statement game. This was there had been so much played up about this is the first game that they're playing against Daniel Alfredsson, and Daniel Alfredsson had said, even if he's tried to retract it since then, he did say I think I have a better chance of winning a cup in Detroit.
He's holding back something.
Oh yeah, but. Yeah. It's
not about money. It's not about really winning the cup. I think it's more about the respect. Because
It's money. If it wasn't about money, he wouldn't have been the first.
No, respect by money is what you're saying. I agree with you, Pam, but the respect is money.
He got $5.5 million in Detroit.
Yep.
We offered him $4 million.
It's about money. Period.
It's about the team kicking their tires and not getting it done.
Yes, which is about money.
It's like, I'm only giving you $4 million.
If he wanted to play here, he would not have been the first free agent signed at 12 noon.
This year was weird too, though, because they had those 4 days in between, which I didn't understand at all.
He didn't have to say yes to Detroit. He didn't. He decided he wanted to.
Yeah.
He didn't have to. If he could have said, he could have gone back to Eugene and said, I've just been offered $5.5 million to play somewhere else. I'll play for you for that amount of money. And he didn't.
And
he
would
called
have.
Ryan Murray and said, I'm leaving.
Yeah. No, I get that, though.
Well, he knows what the situation is in Ottawa. Yeah. And Melnick's just friggin' weird.
Yeah. I hope we got Melnick on our list tonight, I hope, because I got some ranting on that guy. But
yes. I don't really want to get into all this again. All I know is this was a statement game. They won it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm very, very pleased that they went out there. And they didn't just win it. They stomped a hole in the middle of Detroit and said, we're not afraid of you. In your own building.
But Detroit's already a hole.
Touche. Touche. Now, this game was a really good illustration of what the Senators haven't been doing up to now. And I got a really interesting stat on Monday, and I haven't been able to update it since then. So the number is a couple of days old. But I caught this stat just, I don't remember where I caught it, but I wrote it down quickly because I thought it was a really, really telling stat over the league in general right now. It's a ratio of power play to penalty kill.
Yeah.
So if you have 10 power plays and 8 penalty kills, your ratio is plus 2 because you have more power plays to penalty kills. As of Monday, because the numbers have changed slightly since then, number one team overall in the league at plus 17 is San Jose. And number two overall is a tie, Boston and Carolina at plus 6. Huge jump when you consider how young this season is.
Not surprised at San Jose. They're just fast and they're tearing it up. And yeah. I could see a lot of people taking penalties against them.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to hook them to stop them, right?
Yeah. They don't take a lot of penalties either. They get a lot of calls against the other team, but they don't take that many. So that's why their number is really good.
Mm-hmm.
As of Monday, 28th in the league was Detroit, which surprised me because Detroit doesn't take that many penalties. But Detroit was at a minus 7. 29th in the league was Vancouver at minus 8.
And 30th?
Ottawa at minus 20.
Yes. Yeah. We have the most penalty minutes. Penalty kill minutes in the league. And it's not just even, okay, we're close. It's by a wide margin.
It's not actually.
Are you guys going to blame, or do you think it's the refs based on what we saw last year?
I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's just to show you how many penalties the Sens are taking. It's ridiculous.
A lot of bad ones too.
Yeah, bad
ones. Very bad. Like pointless.
Yeah. Like Spezza just punching someone. It's your own fault.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very much so. Yep. I'm not blaming anybody. I just thought this was a really telling stat. I mean, you can't, if you're down by 20, if you've killed 20 more penalties than you've had power plays, that's 40 minutes of having if they're all played to the, full time of having your penalty killers out there. That's when they're not scoring. So you've got your scorers sitting on the bench, or some of them do penalty killing, but not all of them. So you're playing defense for 40 minutes out of 8 games.
Yeah.
And kudos.
That's a lot. Especially when it's 5-on-3 for
2 minutes, yeah.
I think this is the first game this year that we didn't get a 5-on-3.
Against, yeah. By the way,
Cardinal, the flip to that stat is the Toronto Maple Leafs. May not be at the top of that list, but they certainly have the most power play goals in the league, I think, as of yesterday.
Okay.
So, I mean, kudos to them that they're scoring on the power play, but there's a flip opposite.
They don't take penalties; he just gets suspended
or injured.
Yes, but some of the suspensions don't cost them any money. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's like getting the rest of the training program off, so you can just stay at home and relax. Because everybody hates training programs.
Okay, now can we talk game experience?
Yeah,
that was next on my list.
Yay! Perfect.
So we're talking about the Senators game experience because Pan and I were at game one, and then all three of us were at game two.
This is the first game in a long time I don't go to. Well, I guess Phoenix, but I don't go to. It's kind of nice to just, the game's on now. I'm going to watch it now, and I'll play my whole freaking day around it. Just saying. Yeah, it's old.
Huh? Where are you going with this?
I just watch it on TV. I didn't have to drive for hours.
I'm talking about the home games that we went to.
Am I.
Moving along. What was it you were trying to say there, Canuck? I
got lost there too. But anyways, I'm sure when I re-listen to it, it'll make perfect sense.
It's the same between LA and Anaheim.
Yeah, you're being sarcastic about the drive, I think. But
no, I think I'd be home right about in about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyways, carry on.
Oh, well, I thought we should bring it up as a topic. What was your thoughts of the in-game atmosphere? I'll start with a couple of thoughts I have. I should have wrote some of them down, but one was the Fearless campaign. I was quite critical of it. I thought, why are they ditching the Pesky Sens thing and bringing in Fearless? I like Pesky Sens. Everybody seemed to rally around it. The players rally around it. They brought in this Fearless thing. Okay. I have a marketing team at the company I work for too, and sometimes they do stuff that's just roll your eyes at. And I was that way with this Fearless campaign. But having been there and watching the intro with the whole, gladiator themed, which, okay, it's been done, but, going back into Alexander the Great and different, empires. And I thought it was actually pretty, I kind of warmed up to it. I thought, okay, this isn't so bad. I like it. Now, I think we have a tendency as fans to be really critical because this is our team. We don't like when Pan and I are in an opposition.
This is our team. It's our town.
but when you and I are at the LA game, you know, we're in enemy territory. So any presentation on the screen, it's like, oh, wow. Well, these guys got it good. Oh, whoa. You know, it's human nature to be self-critical. But when you really step back and you watch that presentation leading up to the puck drop, and okay, if you get season tickets, you're tired of it by game two. But, you know, you watch it and it's like, it's fairly well done, I thought. Not bad. And I think it gets the point across and I kind of bought into it. Okay, it's kind of cool. I did laugh at the power play thing. You know, they show the gladiator.
Oh, I hate that one.
Where it says, you know, on my signal, unleash hell. And then it shows a picture of Paul McClain and he's supposed to be saying that to his players. But the voiceover does not match the lips.
It's the voiceover didn't work. Great concept, but
I don't understand that one.
I got it, but it's kind gladiator. Of cheese. But you know, there's cheese everywhere. That's fine.
Yeah.
Red Tails.
Red Tails. I know that was. They didn't work well on TV. It's kind of. Not it was all. Fun, but they don't work. White Tails show up on the screen so much better. The I've scarves. The next game though were nice. The Saturday game, they were actually pretty decent.
Yeah, brought to you by Scotiabank, the former.
Well, Scotiabank's an NHL sponsor.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think that was overstocked.
Maybe.
Oh, well.
Doesn't matter. The Saturday game was
nice. It's a really nice vest.
I think I know what I wanted to talk about with this topic. Saturday game, I was in a corner. I was in 317. Yeah, 317. You guys were below me. Yep. It was empty behind me. And I mean empty. I've never seen that. Saturday afternoon game. You know what? Canadians, I think, I don't mind the afternoon games because I can bring my kids and it's not a big deal. I'm not keeping them up late on a school night or I'm not keeping them up late, even on a Saturday night because, you know, the oldest one's 10, but 10:30 is late, you know, for them. They do good. They're fine with it now, but it's late. It's past their bedtime. So afternoon games are nice for families, but I think as Canadians, it's hard to get up for an afternoon game. And
it's hard to get
it's quiet. It's hard to get revved up. That's what I mean. Not wake up, but we're just revved up for a game because it's not until the evening when your chores are done or your work's done or, you know, your things are done that you want to sit down and relax and get pumped up for a game. It's hard to do that in the afternoon. And it was quiet in there.
Yep.
And this made me think of this criticism. Edmonton game.
Well, the team wasn't giving us anything to cheer about either.
Yeah.
As far as excitement. And like, there was no excitement.
People talk about the Montreal Bell Center atmosphere. Fine. They're louder. They're better atmosphere. I get it. But we've heard it as much from people living in Montreal. The people that go to those games, there's some people that's their game. Like, they've waited a year and they get to go to this game and they're just going to let loose. They're drunk and everything like that. And you know, loud sometimes has negative connotations that come with it, the kind of things that happen at a game. Like, talk about a Buffalo Bill games experience, you know. But Ottawa, I look around and it's like, I know these people. And this is my first year as a half-season ticket holder. And I'm looking like, well, okay, I know those people from the RSU. There's Matt, there's Penn. There's, like, oh my, I know, we're all at the same frigging game. So are we expected?
I chased away the people that sat next to me, though.
Yeah, they but moved. Are we expected for 22 home games to bring it all the same energy level as if the difference between us going to like one or two games a year? No.
Yeah, be loud. I think that was one, too, wasn't
be
it?
Be loud. But we are going to react to what's happening on the ice. And the Edmonton game was, I'm sorry, it was a snooze fest. Until we got upset at the refs in the third period, they called it 5-on-3. It was ridiculous. We actually got into it because then it was starting to get quite interesting.
Something!
It was
even that people get mad at me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get mad at that. I love that.
Well, on that 5-on-3 penalty kill, the cheering every time the team got the puck down the ice was as loud as a goal celebration.
And rightfully so.
Killing a 5-on-3 should not be the highlight of the game.
Well, that was part of the problem with the game itself. But
after
that,
it was okay. Like, after that, it seemed like a normal game.
When the crowd had something to cheer for, they cheered for it.
Does that make us dumb fans? Does that make us weak, you know, boring fans? I think it makes us real fans.
We're not just people who were slaves to the video board going, oh, make noise? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why?
What's more of a, this is, there's no right answer here. I'm just going to throw it out. Who's the more real dedicated fan? The guy who shows up to one game, maybe two, and just, you know, the whole time, you know, and makes lots of noise and is drunk and whatever, and goes home singing Go Leafs Go or Go Habs Go. Or the guy who actually sparks out the season tickets and goes to all the games. And yep, some games is going to be louder than others. He's probably going to react, but he's watching all those games live. Who's the bigger fan?
Absolutely right.
I don't know what the answer is there, but I think there's an argument either way.
I think the bigger fan is the one who's actually paying attention to the game. Not just, I'm going to yell and scream and be loud no matter what's happening. No, I'm paying attention to what's going on. And if there's something for me to cheer about, then I shall. But if not, I'm not a puppet. You know, I'm not a marionette. Or
we're
whatever.
Loud and loud, loud, loud in the playoffs. And that goes to show you that we know what's going on.
Yeah, the Rangers series especially, that was something else.
That was brutal. That was wicked.
That one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For other game stuff, I want to go back to the home opener.
Yeah.
So they did the player introductions. When they announced Spezza, I had chills. That place was so loud.
It was pretty loud on TV, I have to say. It was incredible. Or radio, sorry.
I find that was just as loud, if not louder, than when Alfie would get cheered. Because like Alfie, there's no comparison, right? But now I think the fans are really trying to show, it's like, yes, you're a new captain, we're supporting you, and we're going to support you more.
Yeah.
It was something else. That, like, I actually got shivers down my spine with it. It was incredible.
Stu does a good job. I like the way he hangs the names. He's, you know, he does a good job at bringing in the crowd, I find.
Let's see if I can find it here. Because I was ragging on him after, you know, like a couple days after, though. But I'm just going to try to type as I talk. But one thing that he did screw up was Milan Mikolic's hometown.
Oh, I saw you tweeting him on that. What was the deal? You asked him, where is his hometown is he from?
I'm just going to try this too. Jindřichův Hradec, Czechoslovakia. Ugh. So I caught him on just mumbling it out and then saying, from Czechoslovakia, Mila! It was awesome. I don't blame him on that one. That one is friggin' tough. But the cheers that Spezza got were incredible. And remember when Melnick came out for the puck drop?
There's some booze in there.
There was some booze. And then in the Edmonton game.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
He did a tribute to Max Keeping during one of the TV timeouts.
It's just him. Just him talking. I'm like,
it's just ego.
Shut up. I don't want to hear you. Shut up. I don't want to see your smug face anymore. Shut up. Yeah.
People were booing that too.
I didn't hear a lot of boos, but I certainly was silently booing in my head. I'm like giving them the evil eye on the TV.
Just let Stuntman do the talk on this. And then, it's 11-11, guys.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about 11-11.
I know.
We vindicated that one. I'm fine with it. I had two things to talk about for game experience, because I've only been to one game and you guys go to far more of them than I do, and I will be the first to admit this. Now, I don't know if there were different noise graphics, like make noise graphics from last year. There was at least one that looked familiar and one that didn't. So I don't know whether those are new or whether I just don't go to enough games and haven't memorized all the graphics that they put up on the scoreboard. The one thing that I found, it actually started to get on my nerves, was it seemed, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that every time we were starting a power play, the music that was playing leading up to the face-off was the opening guitar riff from Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. Every time.
That drove you nuts.
Always.
First one, they call the power play, is that ding, 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 ding.
Always.
It's my grandparents' doorbell ring. But
every rink
the chimes
that
of
now.
Westminster.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that.
That I'm fine with, because it lets you know, like, at least what team's getting the penalty. Because
exactly.
It's confusing sometimes. I think that's just a quick guitar riff, because they know that they don't have a lot of time to play.
I don't know. I guess maybe because I listened to too much sports radio for a while that I can't help hearing that guitar riff without thinking, live on the Jim Rome show. It just, that's what I'm hearing. Where's the introduction to the show? So if they're going to pick a song to do that, okay. I don't think it's particularly necessary. And to hear the same thing, because that was the only piece of music that I can think of that I heard more than once throughout the entire afternoon. Yeah. Alex did a really good, did a great job with all the other music. It's just that, okay, I don't need to keep hearing this, please.
You just want Baltimore for this trip,
apparently. Hey, he played it for us.
He played Baltimore.
We asked, he played it.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Alex.
Now, devil's advocate on that, is it we're the ones that are asking for something consistent? That's one of the things he's got consistent. They just don't have the goal song.
It's a personal thing. It's just that I found it, every single time.
With your history with the music industry and all of that too, right? It's you're like, Frig, that song again?
Yeah.
It's like if you work at a guitar store and you hear Stairway to Heaven.
No Stairway, yeah.
Or Smoke on the Water.
Dan, dan, dan.
It was more, I mean, I like the song, don't get me wrong. It was just that, why do we keep hearing this? And I was like, oh. Okay, well, we already know it's
lyrics too. I like the song, don't get me wrong.
By the way, the reason I'm tired of Melnick.
I'm tired of him too.
I want a new owner. I'm going to put this out here right now. I'm done with Melnick. Thank you, Melnick, for coming in, taking the team from Rob Brydon. Thank you. It's been fun. Get the hell out of here.
I really, really wonder if that guy that bought Phoenix would have bought the Senators if he was given the opportunity.
We are a team we're on year three of a rebuild.
Again.
As a team, you reach a point where you got to spend. And what are we talking about? We're talking about internal budget.
And that was this year.
You hear people dreading about, oh, next year the cap's going to go up, which means the floor is going to go up. What are we going to do? Oh, we have to raise ticket prices. Get out. We need a new owner.
No, that was me.
Like, well, we're going to become the Montreal Expos, where we can't afford to keep the talent we develop. And if he's going to give up on the team, fans are going to give up on the team. I might be the first.
Okay, looking at it, and I know I'm going to get shelled on this one, but whatever. We were retaining Alfredson, signing the guys that we got, trading for Bobby Ryan, and getting a guy like Douglas Murray on the back end. Then we'd be a contender. Just with two pieces, it would cost in total $10 million.
That's all we're asking for. We're not talking about blatant, dumb cap spending.
Yeah. And guess what's happening next year? We're losing Anderson at some point.
Yep.
Either through trade to get something that's, I would assume, cheap, or blatant free agency. Because he would have no motivation to stay here with Robin Leonard with two more years of experience.
Well, it's funny now you hear Melnick's gone full circle, because before it's like, well, we don't want to just spend willy-nilly. And hey, I think fans are behind that. We've seen the ridiculousness other teams do trade deadline and some of this crazy free agent signings. We get that. We don't want to be stupid. But now he's like kind of praising it. And he's actually technically right. He's saying that, Ottawa's in a unique position because we're in contention and it's trade done. We now have lots of cap and you can trade cap space, I think, somehow now. And you have lots of room to bring in a piece. But you hypocrite, you've been the guy who says you don't want to do that. And now you're saying, well, we can do it. It's bait and switch. And you know darn well he's not going to do it. So
the only way he can do that is through getting rentals. And you got to give up not just one or two, but a lot of the prospects that Cardinal loves.
Well,
to get these guys,
I'm going to look at this at a different perspective, and you can tell me whether I'm wrong, because I'm seeing it. I see where you're coming from, and I have one question and then something else to ask or to say after that. Are you tired of Melnick talking too much, or are you tired of what he's saying, or both?
Both.
Okay.
He's a passionate hockey fan. I do like that about him. So,
since when does he talk? It's been what, 8 years that he's on the team?
That's where I was going. He's only been chatty in the past couple of years. And quite frankly, I would prefer an owner of the team who lets the team speak for itself. You've hired a president. You've hired a general manager. You've hired a coach. You're the owner. No offense. Be quiet. When was the last time you heard from Bell or from Rogers or from the Gillettes? Or, you know, you'll hear, what's the name of the, Ed Snyder you'll hear from. Because
when's the last time that you heard from Cyril Leader?
The Cyril Leader doesn't talk in public because he doesn't need to. And that's the way it should be. And that's what I really wish Melnick would do is just be quiet. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear about whether you're going to be spending, you know, where the budget and so on is. I don't want to hear from Eugene Melnick at all.
Every time we hear from him, we're upset lately.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, I don't have a problem with managing a particular money level. It's unfortunate, but it's the story of this particular market. And the only way to get around that is to have an owner who has more money to lose. Because that's what everybody wants. Spend more money, but there's no income to set it off. So
it's bold that he lost $110 million.
I think that's creative. I think that's creative accounting. I would agree with you there. I think that's creative accounting because it's $110 million out of this column, but that's not including these other ones. When you add them all together, it's X, Y, or Z. And we talked about that before.
And Capital Tickets gets all the sales of the 67s.
And every event that goes in there.
Yeah.
And they get the building money.
But 67 switched to Capital Tickets too, I think, even before they moved in.
Yes.
So in summary, Melnick, when you're opening your mouth, you're doing more harm than good. You're going to lose fans because it sounds like you're giving up on the team.
I agree. I think you should just be quiet and let the team speak for itself and not the owner, because there are far too many owners. Well, not far too many. There are an awful lot of owners in this league who just don't talk because that's not their job. And the next time he gets a request from Toronto Radio to go on the radio, say no. Go out and train one of your horses or something. Just say no.
A guest on our podcast.
If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, I'd be okay with that.
I don't think you'd want to.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
If you want to fly us down to Barbados for a private function, we'd be okay with that too.
We can do a podcast from Burt's Bar anytime.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just throwing it out there. Get some exposure for Bert's Bar. That'd be good, you know.
Hold on. Right after dumping you on you for 10 minutes. Actually, do you want to segue over to the Heatley thing now?
That's where I was going.
Okay.
Next. Now, this is to do with the bonus money that he got on the 1st of July, the year that he demanded to be traded, is it not? Because he demanded to be traded before July 1st, but...
Yeah, he gave them all summer.
Yeah, but wouldn't waive his no trade clause until he found out where it might be going, because he wanted to figure out where he wanted to go. So he made sure that he got paid by Ottawa before he would go anywhere, kind of thing. And I think that's what it was over.
The Edmonton trade was in before the bonus was to be paid.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said no to that.
He would have been moved to Edmonton. Exactly. He would have been moved to Edmonton. Edmonton would have been on the hook, yeah, for...
And that wasn't a fishing reference.
And actually going back, remember with Alfie and him losing his mind over the J.P. Barrie comments? This might have been a ploy, because he mentioned something with Alfie. It's like, yeah, you can thank J.P. Barrie for this one, because he's the one that left us with the Heatley mess. So that might have been a play in regards to this court case, too.
Could be. Anyway, but there haven't been any details come out as to what the settlement is that I've seen.
It will not be disclosed.
Yeah, big surprise. Kind of like why Heatley left. That hasn't been disclosed either.
So I don't know what he would have settled on. He probably got like a buck, because I don't, as sucky as that was, I don't know if Heatley did anything contractually wrong.
Nope, because he showed up at camp. If he didn't show up, I'd totally be on their side.
But we don't know what was in the contract. We just know the major numbers and the typical way these things go. But whatever. Exactly. It was settled.
Yay. Let's move on. And please, can we hear no more from the owner for a while? Yeah. That's all I ask. I just don't want to hear from him anymore.
Is that, or if he did get some money, just reinvest it in the freaking team?
Yeah.
Please.
I'll even suffer from more cold water for another couple seasons just... just go.
Pave the driveway.
Driveway.
Parking lot.
Parking lot. very quickly, just the weekly update on what's going on in Binghamton. Binghamton went 2-1 over the weekend. They're now 4-2 on the season. And their power play went 4-4 on Sunday, and it's now the number one power play in the AHL at this is a staggering number, a 30.4 success rate.
Thank That's you, almost Zubinijad. 1-3.
Well, that one game's got to be.
Welcome back to the team. Suck it, Paul.
I guess he was still down there. Yeah, he was.
Nobody got that.
Sorry?
Nothing. Keep going.
Oh, okay.
I'll just mumble in the corner here. It's all fine.
And just pop it in and edit. That's fine.
Absolutely. We never know what it's going to end up with because we know what we talked about, but whatever comes out as the finished product.
I'm just going to
alteration going on.
Make your voices pitch a little bit higher right now. There
you go. Again? Can't really get much higher.
I don't think so. Mike Hoffman is 4 goals, 2 assists and a plus one. And Cody Ceci is 1 goal, 3 assists and a plus one. Two other prospects that I'm keeping my eye on. Curtis Lazar playing out west. 9 games played is now 9 goals, 8 assists and a plus one. How bad. And Derek Brassard and Chris Dreider, their numbers are getting better compared to last week. Brassard still has a losing record at 5-6, but his goals against is down to 3.23, and his save percentage is above 900 now at 901.
Anderson Dreider. For Yakupov, we're going to do this?
No. Well, no. Not anymore anyways, because Hall's hurt for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not interested in it. You can talk about it if you want. I have my reaction to that
trade. Voracek.
It's a big no for me. I don't want another guy ending up in the KHL.
If we didn't know about that type of comment, we never would have known that.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad it came out. Now we know.
Yeah, me too. I think Curtis Lazar is going to make the team next year.
Could well do.
But, I mean, the way that he's playing, we got to replace McCulloch somehow.
Well,
I don't know if he'll make the team next year. He may.
He can't even play AHL next year, right?
No. Well, actually, yes, because he'll be 19.
He'll be in the AHL next year.
His birthday's really, really late. So technically next year he would be... would next year be his overager year?
Whatever, just ruin him. Just get him up here.
I'm not sure. I'd rather put him in Binghamton for a year with Luke Richardson because Luke Richardson has done great work in... Because nobody thought that Jean-Gabriel Pageau would be ready to play up here last year.
Oh, but he's a whipping boy right now.
He's not my whipping boy.
No, he's not mine either, but people are upset at him. It's like, well, look who he's playing with and the minutes he's getting.
Well, especially after he took that shot for the icing to the empty net, right?
Oh, yeah, I should have sent him down right then. Jeez. Yeah.
Game and 50 one. Lashes for bad behavior. Give me a break.
he needs to clean up his game somehow.
Well, so does Spezza and Carlson too. So, in some
Carlson's
respects,
look good tonight.
He's coming around. Yep.
Yeah.
Much better. We got lots. We're getting email pouring in right now, which is awesome. Which we'll get to in a few minutes. Wanted to talk to you guys before that about a couple of things. As when I last checked, Patrick Kaleta's appeal had been heard with Gary Bettman, and that was on Tuesday, I think. And the decision is supposed to come out, or was supposed to come out, either today or tomorrow. It didn't come out today that I've seen, so I guess it'll be tomorrow. But since then, we've also had Maxime LaPierre get 5 games, Cody McLeod get 5 games. I forgot to write down his first name, Garbutt, the one who got he got 5 games for the hit where his feet left the ice on Penner. It wasn't necessarily a headshot, but it was certainly a really high hit where Penner he jumped up into him.
Penner got knocked out.
Yeah, that was a really ugly one.
Yeah. It was disgusting. And
Grabner got 2 games for a hit on Nathan Gerby. The Cody McLeod one is actually the one I want to talk about. That was the one, the boarding call on Cronwall. He got 5 games for that. What did you think of that one?
I didn't see the hit.
I didn't see it.
I have to say, and I'll be the surprise on this one, I don't think it should have been a suspension at all. It was a Cronwall kind of turned at the last second when there was very little that Cody McLeod could do about it. It was basically a hockey play that went bad. It's an Eric Ryba. It's not the play that was the problem. It's the result that's being punished.
What team does McLeod play for?
I didn't write it down. I'm sorry.
yeah, it's not a big team then?
Avalanche?
I don't think so. I can't remember.
No, sorry, I forget.
That's all right. Anyway,
I think it is the Avalanche. Yeah.
The bottom line is there seem to be an awful lot of suspensions being handed out at the moment for an awful lot of different things. I mean, the Coletta one, obvious. The LaPierre one, yeah, fairly obvious. The hit on Penner by Garbutt, very obvious. The Grabner one on Gerby, well, yeah, okay. But I thought that the boarding call against Cronwall was a little thin, especially to give him 5 games for it. I don't think he should have got any. But if he was going to get any, it shouldn't be more than the hit to the head that Gerby got.
This league doesn't make sense. What's
not
new?
At all. That's what I find so frustrating about the player safety / disciplinary action, which seems to be 2 completely different things, but they lump them into 1 big category.
Coletta better get an increase.
I picture
Bettman go, just stop.
Yeah, stop the appeals. Yeah. I picture Shanahan having this kind of wheel that he spins. You know, okay, I see what we got. You know, two games.
Nice. Well, my biggest beef with everything that's going on with Coletta is the NHLPA is backing him on this appeal. And doesn't the NHLPA also represent the person that Coletta hit?
Friggin' hypocrites.
Yeah,
it's
friggin' union. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, it's a union.
I expect them to represent the one that got hurt at work.
No, they represent the one that's getting penalized.
Exactly. And that's where I'm just dumbfounded by that. We've talked about it before. I don't want to go into it at length, but Mike Smith was it Sunday or Monday that he scored that last second goal where he was just flipping the puck out?
I like it.
Scored with 0.1 of a second left.
Oh, you like that?
I like it.
Well, you shouldn't shoot at the net because that caused an icing.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was in the last second of the game.
It's even, yeah.
You know, see, that's the ridiculousness about the Pageau thing.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Like, people wanted him sent down for that. It's like, just relax.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Mike Smith is the 11th goaltender in history to score a goal. Yep. A couple of quick trivia questions here. There are 2 goalies who have scored more than 1 goal in their NHL career.
Hextall.
Hextall. Broder.
Well done.
Yeah.
And who is the only goalie to ever score a goal in a shutout?
What?
A goalie who scored a goal and also in the same game had a shutout.
Oh. Damien Rhodes.
There. Well
Patrick
done.
Waugh.
Nope. Damien Rhodes. 1999.
The Rain Man of hockey. That was on the power play where Lyle Oderline, who at that point was playing with the New Jersey Devils, went to back pass it. There was no one there and went right into the net. Yep. Damien Rhodes was the last Senators player to touch the puck after making a save and letting the rebound go.
Wow.
It was brilliant. Just brilliant. One of those
take a seat, Liam McGuire.
Did that actually just happen? You should do the new voiceover for that on YouTube. Take away from Stu's voiceover on it. A couple of retirements this week. Martin Biron retires after being waived by the Rangers, and I bet they're regretting that now that Lundqvist is out. Because do you have any idea who the current goalies are for the New York Rangers?
The guy's pretty good, though.
Okay.
The now backup is apparently good.
Uh-huh. Well,
this might be the same reaction as a guy in, I think it was San Jose, that just turned around and said, who's this Leonard guy?
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a bit of a conversation on it with people who are actually in the hockey business, and they were, I think it was on the radio the other day, and they went, okay. I think they're probably going to regret waving Biron after this, just to have somebody who's got some experience, because the 2 guys who are now sitting, well, one's in net and one's on the bench, have never played an NHL game.
So when we had Leonard and Bishop?
They had played at least a few each. Like, we're talking 0.
Well, what's his name's available?
The Rangers are a shitstorm right now anyway.
Oh, I just think it could be fun.
Who's the guy who was in Philadelphia that was thinking of signing with Los Angeles? Thermos boy?
Grzgolov?
Grzgolov, he's available.
My God. That'll add fuel to the fire.
And Jose Theodore is also available.
Who's the coach? It's the ex-Vancouver guy in the Rangers.
Alain Vigneault.
And maybe he can play Nets because he's not going to be a coach for much longer.
Could well be. And Roman Hamrlik retired. Roman Hamernick, who Sens fans will remember, was drafted number one the year that we got Alexi Yashin at number two. Played a number of different teams around the league, but didn't get a con. He was an unrestricted free agent and didn't get a contract, so he's retired.
Hmm. That's been a while.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of fun trade rumors, or there was some trade talk. I think it was on one of the TV channels the other day. That, I mean, we've talked about cap stuff in the past, and with, especially with a bunch of teams who are up right against it and getting a little bit of relief right now because of long-term injury, then that's how they're staying under it. When it comes up to the trade deadline, they still have no money to be able to pick up anybody like Pittsburgh did last year, for example. I mean, they were the extreme example, but they're so crammed up against the cap that they have no ability to be flexible. So there may be teams who are looking to start dumping players even now to try and start making some of that space, which can then, I mean, if you have $1 million now, by the time you get to the trade deadline, you have $5 million because it's only one fifth of a $5 million contract that's left to pay. So the two that they were talking about was apparently Detroit is in trouble right now because Helm is about to come off injured reserve and they can't fit him. Like right now, they can't fit him when he comes off injured reserve without going over the cap. And that's why they're trying to trade someone.
We'll take him. Darren Helm? Be good on the power.
Darren Helm's not who they're looking to trade. The name that was floated out there was Jordan Tutu.
Bab, who are you going to trade Tutu to?
Tutu to?
Because you can't find someone to trade Tutu to. You don't know who you can trade Tutu to.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams there. Actually, this could really kind of work. Is like Calgary's got a ton of cap space. I don't know how the ownership is, but they've got $13 million and they're actually in it. So you can go pick up yourself a couple of defensemen, maybe a goalie of some sort, just shore things up. Because I think they're probably a little bit ahead too. There's tons of teams that might need some type of help there that aren't really successful. There's what? There are 10 teams with zero cap space. 10, a third.
And of those 10, they're even at zero because a lot of them are using long-term injury to try and get to that point.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Elliot Boston is with Savard and what's his face? But. Yep, real, real interesting.
It's too early for trades. I can't wait
for Clarkson to come back and then get suspended again.
As a repeat offender, that could be fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of Calgary, it was made official today that Sean Monahan is staying with them. He's not coming back to the 67s here in Ottawa.
Good for him.
How do you feel about that now?
Good for him.
I'm disappointed.
Well.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed as a 67s fan or as a Sean Monahan fan?
A bit of both. I think that Calgary's playing very well right now. They're 4-3-2. I'm not at all convinced they're going to keep up the pace that they're at.
No.
And if they start to really, really struggle.
And they will.
It could get really ugly.
But he's producing.
He is for now. Absolutely.
Good for him. Can he keep it up? He's earning lots of money up there now. Certainly more than you would at 67s.
This takes me 10 years to make what he's making.
Exactly right. No, we'll see. We'll see. I certainly congratulate him on all he's playing.
Sent him back down, it just burns a year of his contract.
Yes.
And they cannot recall him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also been talk about if the team, they may make him available for the World Juniors, which wouldn't technically count as sending him down. I don't know exactly how that works, but he might do that, depending on how the team's doing.
But then the Flames, I think ever since the last CBA, that's been unpopular because of the risk of injury. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see.
Exactly.
But the good news for you, Colonel, that you've got to remember is that he's that much closer to your UFA then.
True. True.
Is he from Ottawa also?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Can't remember where he's from.
Hopefully the city made a good impression on him then.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's going to be about the time that we really need a first-line center.
Well, if I have my pick, it would be Logan Couture, but that's just me.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, no, but I mean, he'll be in UFA before Monahan is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know we have an owner that's willing to spend. Sorry.
Easy. We already talked about that. Let's not go back to that bad place. Come on. Pan, you want to talk a little bit about the prediction panel that's been going on in the forums? And okay. Because you're the one who's always talking about it and so on. So give a little update as to how things are.
So Senior making an absolute joke out of the thing, going 3-1 for the other guys. Yeah, he's leading now. So yeah, he's 5-2 with one exact score prediction for a total of 8 points. Chuck Prowse is, I don't know who this guy is, but he's a genius in this. He's 5-3 and I'm 5-2. Somehow I missed a game in there. I don't know how.
I gave up. I don't know.
It's not my thing. I'll admit it's not my thing. So I don't.
It was fun last season. This season, it's becoming a chore.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're hosts for the show.
I am. But I'm just not interested in a prediction panel, so I don't do it. Simple as that. Now we've had some email come in tonight, and we had had one from before this evening. So let's get through those because there's some good stuff to talk about in them.
Yeah.
You're up with the first one from Blair.
Yeah, from Blair Brown. Subject, Montreal or Toronto? I have a question for you guys. Are Montreal Canadiens fans as miserable to be around as Toronto Maple Leaf fans? I live about an hour east of Toronto, and I have to put up with the morons that cheer for the team of yard waste on a daily basis. My wife? Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Now, my wife has heard that Canadiens fans can be just as annoying. Is your experience the same, or is one fan base worse than the other? Sincerely, Blair. Hang on.
Leafs are worse.
I'm going to go get some popcorn here. Blair, my experience, and I think we're probably all unanimous on this, but we'll find out. Montreal fans, they can be annoying, and yes, they got their heritage and their two-hour torch ceremonies and everything like that, but... And they're annoying when they come into your arena and they do their ole ole thing, but we have a nice Pajot response. They're nothing compared to Leafs fans. Leafs fans seem to just not only thrive on cheering when their team is doing well, they seem to thrive. Their existence is about putting others down. And yes. They arrive at your arena drunk from the bus ride. This is our house. Compare that to like ole, 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 where they're cheering on their team. Everything is an insult against the other person. Leafs fans, I find, are far worse.
Yes, that's exactly what I agree with. Because Leafs fans just focus on putting the Sens down.
Like the guy in LA that we met?
Yeah, exactly. Like these jerks just come out of anywhere. So you're going to go and spend your time and money to go watch a team that you hate so that they hopefully lose to a team that you're neutral and don't care about.
Okay with that because I turn on a Leaf game on TV and I hope they lose. But I don't invest money and go wear my Sens jersey to go watch the game in person, wear my Sens jersey and carrying an anti-Leaf sign. That's a bit ridiculous. Borderline. Yeah. And this is right across the board, seems to be.
Yeah, and Habs fans just focus on their own team. So, Habs fans I have no problems with except for Andrew Berkshire.
I'd say Habs fans are a little, their loyalty is a bit blind in that anything that happens to their team is automatically wrong. But they're passionate about their team. They're not keyed up to be a jerk to the fans of the other team. And there's a significant line there, which you've already defined quite well. So, yeah. I think we're all in agreement that the yard waste fans, are more annoying because that's what they want to be. They're trying to be annoying.
They don't even understand their own arguments. They talk about, well, how many cups has Ottawa won? 11. No, Ottawa Senators have won 11 cups. Oh yeah, but way back when. It's like, when was your last cup? 1967. There are six teams in
Eric
the league.
Eric Carlson's parents were two.
That's not bad.
The 11 that Ottawa have won are meaningless because it's an old organization, which I believe is now the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
we've been around for 20 years.
10 years ago, the Leafs schooled us in the playoffs. that sucked as a Sens fan, fine. That was 10 years ago. Then where have you been since?
Golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely true. And if that doesn't make them be quiet, you can always just mention May 13th. Or London. That's my favorite by far. Just May 13th. How's your 4-1 lead? That's all you need to say.
I said that at the Ducks game. The Sens are up. Or sorry, the Ducks are up 4-1. And I actually didn't understand what everyone around us was cheering. Pan, do you remember this? They were saying wings, 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 because apparently they score 5 goals to get free wings from Hooters. But I thought they're saying win. Win, win. I'm like, guys, I don't think you need to worry. You got a 3-goal lead. You're not the Leafs. Apparently,
yeah. He left. It was a good one.
Okay. I think we hashed that one to death. Well done. I'll take the next one. I got the email from Homer. And it reads, what a game. Where was this team in the first 8 games? Spezza, 7 goals in 8 games. I think he needs to shoot more. Bobby Ryan with 6 in 9 games. Are the Sens finally getting it together? This game had a real potential for a big side story distraction. Instead of a distraction, I think it focused them and played more as a team. I hope they keep it going against the Ducks on Friday, and it wasn't just the wings that were distracted. With that said, the other 2 goals tonight were scored by D-men. Others on the team will need to step up. We can't leave it up to 2 guys to score all the goals. Nice to see Zibad back. Hopefully that AHL stint will give him some extra motivation to perform. And, in other news, Heatley and Melnick reached a settlement over the $4 million bonus paid out to Heatley after nixing a trade Edmonton. Wonder what the details are. Homer. Well, I think we've talked about pretty much everything.
6 and 9.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, that was childish. Good. I like it.
Good subject line on this one, too. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Indeed.
I love that. I don't think we didn't use that with Alfie before, did we?
No. I don't think so.
I've been using that quite a bit.
Pan, you're up with the next one from Steven.
Woo. Steven. All right. I actually convinced this guy to join the forum.
He is there.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's not that long. It was on my phone. And I haven't proofread this one, so this might be a struggle. Alfie's pseudo-return wasn't a return to Ottawa, but first match against his former team. I didn't think that the Sens would end up beating them up 6-1. I hope that this doesn't mean that we'll see them return the favor in December. Strange to note, though, that Alfredsson was fairly invisible. Totally agree. But it seems to me that it was mostly as a result of the Sens playing a close to perfect road game and drawing penalties. Did we trade our team overnight? Alfie definitely looked frustrated out there. Keep up the good work with the podcast. I look forward to it every week. Thanks, Steven.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if any Gatorade bottles got stepped on out in Detroit. It's not frustrating.
Oh, I was okay. It took me a second to figure out what you're talking about. I was thinking of the Brandon Dubinsky with the Gatorade cooler in New York, where he.
Oh no, no, no!
The epic meltdown. Colin Greening.
Right. I remember that now. Okay, I agree. I thought Daniel Alfredsson was pretty invisible in this game. You heard his name a couple of times, but there was no.
Yeah, was in the pregame show. It was when he took his penalty because he wanted to fit in with the Sens.
And you know what the difference was tonight? Mika Zibanejad. Clearly he's the savior to this all.
Hey, he got us started.
He did.
I wish you would have seen more out of him, though, but whatever. Did you check how many minutes he had left? Or did he play?
No, I didn't look it up.
I can, just a second.
I'll bring it up. You can read the next email. We got to get going here.
Okay, yep. Well, actually, Canuck's up with the next email, which is the one from Senskal.
Yes, Senskal. Subject line, baby boom. I think there will be a baby boom in Ottawa tonight. And in 9 months from now, tonight, a lot of newborns will be named Spezza or Bobby or Ryan or maybe Mika. That was a statement game by the Sens. Gotta love a bounce back game like this after a Monday's workday by Coach McLean. He sure brought the best out in this team tonight against Alfie and the Wings. With a 6-1 beating, the Leafs showed no respect to the former captain. Can't wait to listen to your show, boys, but I have to cut this email short to go participate in that baby boom in 9 months. Said Scott. Nice.
Yeah, we didn't get to proofread that one, I guess.
Oh. Hey, Sen Scott.
Nice.
Thank you. No, you got to play him something a little bit more romantic than that.
Does that make us the pregame show or what?
Oh, 2 seconds too many. He played 11 minutes and 13 seconds. That would have been perfect. Zibanejad.
Oh, it's not bad for a fourth line player. Now, he did get the power play late in the game, too, but that's still not bad.
Sucked on the, you know, he sucked on the puck drop faceoffs.
Yeah, he was struggling with those, I think.
Yeah, 1-3. And I've never liked him in the faceoff. Ooh, but he wasn't playing 3 center. 12.
He wasn't playing center. Grant was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I just want him on the top six. Yeah, on a wing.
Well, the only way he's getting up to the top six is if Corey Conacher's knocked out.
No, the only way he's on the top six is this is what the organization needs him. Hey, Corey Conacher, Clark MacArthur right now.
Yeah, Clark MacArthur's setting up. He's just not scoring them. He's got assists. He's just not scoring. Now, he's borderline my whipping boy. I will say that because I'm getting a little frustrated with the fact that he does do some setup work, but he's not scoring. And he's being paid to be a scorer. But I'm going to cut him a bit more slack, but it's getting, I'll admit, it's getting close to being my, he is getting close to being my whipping boy on that. Anyways, we've got one more email, then let's wrap this up and get out of here because it is starting to get late. The last email of the night is from CB Inc. I'm not sure if you guys are going to do an emergency podcast or not, but I missed the game. What happened? Just kidding. The game was on TSN and I was not going to miss it. Little Miss CB Inc. had to do her math homework on her own. Good game. Nice outcome. Less hate for number 11 on a night like tonight. It was good to see what this team is capable of. And if MacArthur keeps playing like he does, I won't mind if he doesn't score. Blue stain and all. But it's back to more blackouts for me. CB Inc. That's unfortunate. CB Inc., we have to find a way to get you to be able to see some more of these games.
Little Miss CB Inc., why you do your math homework alone? You need to work harder.
Daddy, why is 6 greater than 11? I don't understand.
Nice. I agree. If MacArthur keeps playing like he does, actually, I can't agree completely. I think he does have to score. He's put up some assists already, yeah. But he does have to start scoring. It can't all be Bobby Ryan on that line.
He's just there for our Leafs games.
That doesn't miss the net.
If he only shows up for the Leaf games, I'm okay with that.
No, he needs to show up more often than that.
Yeah, you're right. But it sounded cool when I said it.
Anyway.
I expected to be so bitter tonight, and I'm actually kind of happy.
It's pretty good.
Are we done?
We're done.
Yay.
Pretty much. The week ahead. I wrote this down. Where did I write it down? There we go. Week ahead. The week to come. This coming Friday, the Senators are back at home against the Ducks.
I'm there.
On Sunday, they're at home against the Senator, or against the Sharks.
There.
You're at both of them.
Yep. Now, did you have to trade tickets to get those games, or that's just
part of the package? Bringing me to the Ducks game. That's gonna be fun.
Oh, thanks. I'm at the Sharks game.
Nice. Because you know it goes well with when I go to the Ducks game with him, and she's there too, right?
Yeah. How's your attendance in Ducks games so far this season? About as good as mine, right? Jeez.
All right, so that's the Ducks, the Sharks, and next Tuesday the Senators are visiting Chicago. So three. You're gonna be in Chicago, okay?
No, I'm not.
that's three pretty tough games. But after seeing the game tonight, with the Senators doing very well against a divisional opponent,
predictions.
Sorry.
Prediction.
I don't do predictions. But I think they'll probably put up a better. I think they will be playing more like tonight and less like last weekend.
Three possible 6 points. You're okay? I think we need four.
Yeah.
I think I'd we need four of 6 points.
Yeah, out of those good. Three teams, three out of six, would be satisfactory. I'd be happier with four.
Yeah.
I think we're getting zero.
I think I would have said zero. Negative waves. Normally.
Always with the negative.
Moriarty.
Thank you. Still one of my favorite movies of all time.
Things get easier afterwards, though, which is good.
Well, we're certainly getting a lot of these very difficult games out of the way early, so it hurts our spot in the standings now, but all the other teams are going to have to, in our division, are going to have to play these games as well. Like, we'll have played both games against the Ducks and both games against the Sharks before we've played 15 games in the season. That's okay.
Yeah, especially against those teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, I also like game on, game off, game on, game off, game on, game off. It was really good.
What I don't understand is the Sens schedule up until now has been fairly spaced out. And I thought with the Olympics this season, everything's supposed to be compressed again. So does that mean we're in for like the terrible compressed end right before the playoffs?
They've got a couple weeks with four games. Yep.
I was going to say, I haven't really looked at the schedule all that closely, well, to be honest.
It's if we make the playoffs right now, we're barely in them. I don't think we're in them yet.
Yeah, we've got less games. Don't worry about that.
And we've played some very difficult teams, so I'm okay with that.
Remember, the standings in December, the top eight teams don't usually change much.
Have we played Montreal yet?
No, we got 1 month to figure this out. And it's over.
It's 10% done. We're okay. Yeah, right. Things do get a little bit stuffy.
But they'll get the same way for everybody.
Four games. And, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's even field, I don't really care.
Sorry. All right. Folks, thanks for the emails that were sent in tonight. Always good to hear from listeners and always gives us things to talk about. Thank you again to Ivan. And it was also great to meet a few other people. I had never met Sylvie before. Saturday, so it was great to meet her and a couple of the other folks who we met either at the game or afterwards.
Yeah, Puddle Duck for coming up too.
Yeah. And great to see Puddle Duck again, absolutely.
Nice meeting you, Ivan.
Yeah, good to meet you. I've heard about you, especially from Russell, but good to finally put a face. Good to put a face to the name. Yeah. My liver will never be the same, but it was still a fun weekend.
That's a lot of drink.
Folks, feel free to email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. We always things to talk about, even about this game. We can talk about it again next week or the games between now and then. Visit the forums at sendsunderground.com. Follow us on Twitter and let us know that you're out there. Interact with us. It's always a good time. Until next week, good night from me, good night from them, good night.
Time for some Duck Hunt.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Just give me one more chance to make it right. I mean, I'll make it through the night. I won't go home without you. Oh, oh, oh. It's not over tonight. Just give me one more chance to make it right. I mean, I'll make it through the night. I won't go home without you.
What'd you say to him?
He said, oh yeah, Chinese.
Oh yeah, Chinese.
With the door, your door was open because you were telling him about the truck. Panda shows. Oh yeah, Chinese.
I guess they checked all their doors. Why is the light still on? The trunk is open. As
why the car still beeping?
Why you bing?
You why for bing. You bing? Why you not bing harder?
Oh, because of Kali and Kyle.
Everybody's racist.
Why you not bing harder?
Oh,
Love how that just caught everybody off. I was re-listening to the last episode. We do this in Canuck a lot. He'll say something, it's hilarious, and we just keep going.
Well, half the time I don't hear him say something funny, but I listen to the episode. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't hear that.
It's great. Because the two of us just keep going. It's like he's interrupting us. And like, we just ignore him and go on.
But hey, I guess we're entertaining, so that's all right.
Trying to rein in the sanity, but hey, what's the point?
It's free. It's a free podcast.
Free podcast. No refunds.
No refunds.
You want your money back?
What's your aim? Zilog. Sounds like some kind of underworld demon or something.
Funny.
My stomach hurts.
I haven't had an idiot drive like this in a long time.